Hey, yo, and here we go. Another episode of We Talk Music on the air and in your ear. Once again, I am Martin, and joined by the king of the casters, Mr. Brett Podcast. And Brett, we got I'm sure going to be a really fun interview lined up today.
Well, I'm really looking forward to it. I got to be honest, this one's a little bit different for us. I mean, we have a physique expert. He is Eric the Trainer joining us. But the interesting thing about it is that he's joining us because he has a band called Main Monster that he's done some singing, he's written some songs, and right now he's put a song together, which is really awesome. So Eric, tell us about your music.
Hey man, once again, thank you again for having me on the show. I really appreciate it. I can tell you this, I'm a personal trainer. I live in Los Angeles and I work with a lot of musicians and a lot of actors. But you know, after a long gym, one of my favorite things to do is to go home and just write songs on the acoustic guitar. It takes my mind away from fitness, and it makes it come, when I come back the next day to the gym, I'm fresh and ready to go. When the pandemic occurred and we all found ourselves in lockdown, I had a lot more time at home to write music. And so I wrote a bunch of new songs that were inspired primarily by my new wife. I just got married. Her name is Alicia. She's beautiful. And she's my muse, and she inspired me to write all these new songs. And I took some of those songs, and once the lockdown was lifted here in Los Angeles, and I went into the studio to record them just to sort of flesh them out. And some of my celebrity clients and friends that are in the music business heard about it. They jumped on and joined me. The next thing you know, we actually formed a band called Main Monster, because I'm from Maine. And the first single, which is called I'm Yours, we actually gave 100% of the proceeds to Feeding America, which is a charity that goes in and restocks food banks that have run out of food. And so I hope your listeners hear the music. I hope they enjoy it. Our second single that we just released is called Girl Like You, and it features Arnell from Journey singing with me on the chorus. It's a big song, and we're really excited about the project.
Well, for sure. I mean, I love I'm Yours. Like, what a great, great song. I mean, just so, like, I just really love the vibe of it. So congratulations on that.
Thanks, man. It was a fun song to write. You know, the song is about sort of an unimpressed girlfriend where no matter how famous, how successful, whatever happens to her boyfriend, you know, she doesn't care. She just loves him for who he is. And sort of the irony, you know, living in Los Angeles, which is such a material-driven place, to find a girl that loves you for who you are, which has nothing to do with what you can achieve, it's kind of wonderful. It's kind of nice. And so so that's the song. It's called I'm Yours.
How many songs in total do you expect you're going to be releasing for Main Monster?
You know, my goal is to release a bunch of singles and then eventually full EP. And, you know, to release a record that has all those singles plus songs on them. But so far, so good. We're releasing them slowly. We're letting them build. And the reaction has been really, really strong. My influences, of course, are more of an 80s new wave and rock and roll generation than the stuff that you hear on the radio now. And so one of my goals is to get guitar rock back on the radio. And so with I'm Yours, you can really hear those influences.
Yeah, you're totally speaking our language when you say stuff like that, because that's, you know, for Martin and I, that's the era that we grew up in, so we love to listen to that kind of music.
Mm. Yeah, it's I've been lucky enough to tour with a lot of musical artists as their trainer, and to get a chance to see them perform every single night, and it's just a joy to see these guys who are now in their 50s and even in their early 60s go up there and deliver a show and have a packed stadium of people that really appreciate the songs. And the music is still live. You know, there are certain bands, like let's say you go see the Beach Boys. There's a certain amount of nostalgia that comes along with those concerts. And you hear those songs, and they're great songs, and the performance is good. But it's like, oh, hey, remember those? But then you have a band like Def Leppard, or you have a band like Journey, where you go, and literally the music is still alive and the concert really communicates to its audience. You know, these songs are still alive. The band is still vibrant and they almost lean into the crowd and make it all come alive again. I just love it. I think it's so good.
You must obviously want to be getting out there and performing these live, and you're not quite able to do that yet, but are you starting to think to yourself, okay, this is the type of stage show I'm going to have. And what kind of stage show could we expect from Main Monster?
You know, we actually discussed the notion of playing some live shows, you know, in cities like New York, Los Angeles, Miami, Chicago, It would be really super fun. One of the issues we have with Main Monster is it's kind of a super group. So for me to get, you know, members of Lifehouse and Nickelback and Journey, you know, different members from different bands all together, is kind of a challenge. You know, when you talk about logistically touring, because once touring starts again, I think a ton of those bands are going to be on tour themselves doing it. But I didn't write the music and I didn't record the music for that reason. I did it just for the love of music. I'm a fitness expert. I've been a fitness expert for almost 30 years, and being in the gym is what I love to do. But my passion for music and my desire to help others and to try to motivate and inspire other people, whether it's through showing them how to do a good push-up or playing a catchy song that stays in their head all day, I'm just here to help. And I really, really enjoy what I do.
Tell us a little bit more about your musical background, though. You say you pick up the acoustic guitar. These are new songs. Tell us a little bit more about your history with music, first musical memory, first time you picked up the guitar, how long have you been playing, and that type of thing.
You know, I moved to New York City after college, and all I knew was I didn't want to go to college anymore because I had been in college for 5 years. And I also knew that I wanted to learn how to play guitar eventually just because I thought it was so cool. So I started working in a gym in New York City, and I was working there and training people and having fun. I was about 22 years old. And one day this guy came up to me and said, "Hey, my name is Brad Tilinski. I'm the editor-in-chief of Guitar World magazine," which at the time I think was the biggest guitar magazine in the world. And he said, "I see that you're a great trainer. Why don't we do a barter? Why don't I teach you how to play guitar and you get me into great shape?" And I felt like I was back on the farm in Maine. You know, I grew up on a farm in Maine with you know, cat, you know, pigs and sheep and even had a donkey. And I felt like I was back on the farm with a bartering situation, which I understood very well. You know, I give you a pig, you give me firewood for the winter, whatever it is. So we actually ended up doing a barter, and Brad and I became very close, and he taught me how to play acoustic guitar. And, you know, when you empower someone to play an instrument, it really just allows their creativity to flourish. It's almost like teaching someone how to fish. So instead of you having to give them meals every day, they can suddenly provide for themselves. Well, Brad taught me how to play acoustic guitar. He taught me just the basics, but it was enough where I could come up with a melody and a harmony, and I could, you know, play the major chords. And so I've been playing guitar for almost 25 years. I really love it.
That's awesome. Do you really really good story? Do you have other songs then in your catalog from the past that you've written that you're anxious to get out there or rework or something like that as well?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the batch of songs that I wrote that you've heard so far, those first two singles, those are new songs. But, you know, in the past, I've written a bunch of songs inspired by what's happened in my life at the time. And actually, I had a band called 98 Pound Weakling. I think you could still find it on Apple Music and iTunes, 98 Pound Weakling, which is kind of ironic because I'm a workout guy. But we released an album of songs that I had written. And, yeah, we had a great time. We toured around and had a lot of fun. But remember, I'm not a full-time musician. I'm a fitness guy that loves music, and there's a big difference between the two. So for me, there's no pressure to have a song or an album perform financially at a certain level. I just do music because I love it. I just do music to share it with my friends and my clients, anyone that'll listen. But if your listeners want to check out Main Monster and all the cool sounds that we have, if they go to any of the streaming platforms, if they go to Spotify, Apple Music, or even iTunes, they can check out the songs under Main Monster.
Now, one of the things I'm interested in is, I mean, with the talent that you have on the songs, like, what kind of input did they have in, you know, the final product?
You know, I wrote the songs fully. And so I went in there and sort of laid down the basic guitars and vocals. And then I just sort of brought them in as experts. It's almost like if you're having a pickup game of basketball and you invite a bunch of NBA players to join you, they're going to make you look really, really good. So, I mean, you know, I initially had Mike, the bass player from Nickelback, come in and lay down a bass line. And all of a sudden, the song started to take on this unbelievable, you know, proportion. It was really, really nice. Then Jörg, former guitar player from Lifehouse, came in and laid down some incredible guitar. And the songs really sprang to life and became better than I ever could have imagined them. I had a vision in my mind. I had a sound in my mind of what the end result would be. And honestly, if you listen to the song, it actually exceeds that which I was hoping for. Like, it really took on a life of its own. And I'm very proud of them. I think the Maine Monster songs are really cool. The first single, I'm Yours, of course, is so catchy and so fun. And then if you can find a bigger chorus than the chorus in Girl Like You, you got to tell me about it, because that chorus is massive. Have you guys heard Girl Like You?
I actually missed that one, unfortunately.
Oh, yeah.
It must have been recent.
Yeah, it's the second single that we just released. And like I said before, it's available on all streaming platforms, on Spotify, Apple Music, and iTunes. So check out those two. Those are our two releases so far, Girl Like You and I'm Yours. And, yeah, man, it's a lot of fun. I mean, it's been a crazy year. And for a lot of people, it's been a very stressful year. But I really hope that these songs, you know, get into people's minds and motivate them to feel a little bit better. And I had a great time making them, and I'm sort of living my dreams, getting to play with some of the coolest musicians in the whole world.
One of the things I wanted to talk
about.
Oh, I was going to ask about your singing and just, you know, how long, again, you've been singing, and at what point did you realize that you could sing?
You know, I never really realized I could sing. You know, I'm a guy who works at the gym all day, goes home, takes a shower, and then writes acoustic guitar songs in my underwear on the couch. So most of the singing that I do in my life is actually for an audience of one, and that is me, or if my wife is around, an audience of two. But I can tell you, when you write a song and it comes from the heart, and if it's in the right key, it's easy to sing, because there's a lot of authenticity and there's a lot of realness in it. And those songs that you'll hear from Maine Monster were written from the heart. And so I felt a lot of joy being able to sing those songs. And, you know, I worked with a great producer, this guy Wolves, who's based out of Los Angeles. He's got a great studio in LA. And so putting down the right harmonies. Also, I have a 23-year-old son named Henry, who's also a musician. And he actually sang a ton of the harmonies on the song, too. So it was a nice father-son bonding moment to get a chance to spend some time with my son in the studio and have him contribute to the overall project also. And he and I sound the same when we sing, because obviously we're related.
So, you know, one of the things that I'm interested in is, like, when you're writing songs, and especially being a workout guy like you are, is there a moment where you think to yourself as you're writing them, like, oh, this would be great to work out to. I'd love to, you know, this is the kind of song that I totally want to get into the gym with.
Yeah, man. I mean, look, I spend hours and hours and hours in the gym. And as a trainer in the gym, there's really only three ways you can express yourself. It's all about a cool T-shirt, awesome sneakers, and whatever's playing on the radio. So, I mean, you know, I grew up, you know, listening to the 80s music and the 90s music. And so my musical taste is heavily influenced by those two decades. You know, I like some of the music from the 70s also, although, you know, I love the Police. I love AC/DC. I love Nickelback. I love Def Leppard. I love Journey. I like songs that are big and powerful, where the choruses soar and that stay in your mind and inspire you to do great things. And I can tell you that before a big lift, if I'm going to try to bench press, you know, 315 pounds, or if I'm looking to do a bicep curl with the 75s or something crazy like that, it always helps to have a really catchy big song on the radio that gets your attention. Like I'm very inspired by music. And so the music that I write, the music that I sing, the music that I compose, I try to make it in that same vein where people will really like it.
Yeah, I like to warm up with the 315-pound bench press myself.
Yeah,
just warm up with that.
A 315-pound Twinkie, that is.
But I think when you think about the stress that people are under right now, you know, there's exercise, there's diet, there's sleep. Those are all things that help alleviate the tension that you feel in your body, but also the notion of stress relief. And one of the ways that you can actually relieve stress is by listening to music that you like and that takes you to another place. And it can inspire people. It can inspire people to do great things in the gym. It can inspire people to do great things in their lives when the music's great. And, you know, I'm obviously older than some of the 22 and 23-year-old trainers you see in the gym today. So the music of today does not motivate and inspire me at all. I don't really get it. The choruses aren't catchy. The songs, you know, sort of, they all sound kind of like, everyone wants to be a rapper who's late for an important date, so he's talking really, really fast, and there's no hook of the song. And so when I create music myself, I want to create songs that people hear, that they're motivated by, and that stay in their mind, that they sing to themselves. And so looking back at The Police and someone like Sting, he wrote some of those melodies, and, you know, they've stayed in our mind for the past 40 years. It's crazy.
One of the things I'm interested in is that we talk about creativity, especially when it comes to music, but like, how does it kind of transfer, you know, the creativity that you would have as a trainer into music?
Well, you know, as a trainer in Hollywood, I don't just exercise with my clients. What I do is I usually get a chance to either read the scripts or hear from the clients, whether it's a director or producer, what the character needs to look like. And then I creatively need to make decisions in the gym on what exercises and what diet plans to follow to transform this normal actor into this character that he or she has to be. So there's a lot of creativity in the gym that I need to exercise every single day. And I try to use that same level of expertise and creativity when it comes to songs. I mean, anybody can pick up an acoustic guitar that can play and play a G and a C and a D and come up with a basic, you know, song structure. But what I try to do is come up with melodies and harmonies and lyrics and vibes that are unusual and that are special and that cement themselves in your mind. I think Mike from Nickelback had a phrase that he used when he heard my music for the first time, because Mike from Nickelback, the bass player, agreed to play on the music sight unseen. He had never heard the songs. He didn't know what it was. He and I just know each other very well. We work out together, and he just said, hey, whatever I can do to support whatever you're up to, I'll do it. But then when he heard the song and he played on the song, he called it a mind worm, because he said it really got into his head and it just stayed there. And that's sort of my goal. You know, my favorite songwriters are songwriters that are able to craft lyrics and melodies that actually they create a hook and they stay in your mind and they become sort of the soundtrack of your life. And so, not to be melodramatic, but I'll tell you, if any of your listeners get a chance to hear I'm Yours or Girl Like You through your program and they love the song, it means the world to me. It really, I love the fact that people enjoy the music.
For sure. You know, and like I say, I mean, I really enjoy I'm Yours, and I think that it's definitely got that hook. And I look forward to catching up on the music now.
Awesome.
But one of the things... go ahead.
I'm just wondering, because you had mentioned that 100% of the proceeds went to Feeding America. So I'm wondering what it is about that charity that is close to your heart. And also, what are the philanthropic measures you might be into?
I think it's important to always give back whenever you can, especially now at a time where so many people are in need. And my wife and I would watch the national news months and months ago, and we would see those long lines of people across the nation waiting, you know, at the food bank because they lost their job or they had food insecurity. And it was heartbreaking because some of those families never imagined in a million years that they would be in that position. And here they are waiting in line for 6 or 7 hours to get enough food to feed their families. And then when they finally get up to the front of the line, there's no food left. Some of those food banks actually run out of food. So we knew that we wanted to do something charitable for an organization that would potentially be able to restock those food banks to help people out. And Feeding America was one of my favorites. So that's how we selected them. And, you know, we do a lot of charitable things. I actually had a couple Hollywood actors, a couple rock stars. We all of us went together and we suited up and we went into a hospital, local hospital, and we fed first responders, doctors and nurses who were working around the clock. We brought them food and we brought them some holiday cheer a couple months ago because, you know, the morale around the hospital where the doctors and nurses are overworked and overrun, it gets really, really bad. So we're constantly trying to go out into the community and try to help out. We had our pals from Quest Nutrition who helped us with some of that. We also had our friends from Sunfair, which is a food delivery service. They provided all the food. And so it was a really wonderful thing for us to do, to try to give back. It was awesome.
I saw there was a movement you were trying to start where somebody at another table during a dinner, you would anonymously buy them dinner. And I think that's like one of the coolest ideas I've ever heard in my life.
Oh, thanks, man. Well, you know, it worked well while the restaurants were open. And now that the restaurants are not open for seating, it sort of throws a monkey wrench into it. But I'll tell you, you know, it's always important to, especially if you have any level of success in your career, to try to give back to others that are less fortunate. And I remember there was a quote from Kevin Spacey who said, "Hey, if you ever achieve a level of success that elevates you to that certain level, make sure you send the elevator back down for the next guy." And I really believe in that. And at a time right now where there's a lot of uncertainty and we're in the midst of a global pandemic, the very least I can do is write a song, record it with a bunch of my friends, and see if we can cheer up and motivate people to smile instead of frown on any given day. It's been a tough year for a lot of people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. Now, one of the things, too, that I'm interested in is you talked earlier about going on the road with bands. And so I'm thinking, like, I mean, obviously, so you talked about reading scripts and training people in Hollywood. Like, well, what's it like going on the road with a band, and how different is it to keep them physically in shape, especially for the longer tours and stuff like that?
You know, it's a lot of fun. It's a different way to see the world. I was lucky enough to go on tour for several years with Def Leppard, one of my favorite bands of all time, and keep those guys in great shape, which is actually how I met Journey originally, because Journey was playing on a massive tour with Def Leppard, so I became friends with the guys in Journey also. But, you know, on the road, we've got a very strict workout schedule. We all work out in the morning together at different times, and then we get to the venue, and then we actually usually have another workout before the concert at the venue, getting these guys to look and feel their very best, stay in top shape. Because as the music industry has changed from a business standpoint, the way that bands like those bands make money is through concert touring. That's how they, you know, because of the digital age, people aren't making the same money they used to through record sales. And so now it's all about touring. And the touring schedule for guys that are in their 50s, 60s, or even 70s, it can be quite grueling. And so whether you're thinking about a band like Air Supply, who have so many of those love song hits that everyone loves, I mean, those guys are in their 70s and they tour like crazy. Or Def Leppard, who literally rock an arena or a stadium harder than almost any band out there today. That takes a certain amount of physical stamina. And so for them to stay in the best shape, to work out with a guy like me, to eat healthy foods, and to make sure they get a good night's sleep, it's imperative in order to pull off those big tours.
So, I mean, Phil Collin from Def Leppard is in amazing shape. There's no doubt about it. So is that all on you?
Well, listen, man, that's part of my responsibility. And so thank you so much. You know, we take a lot of pride in the fact that he's a vegan. We take a lot of pride in the fact that we are very consistent in our workouts. He's a wonderful guy to work with. And he just had a birthday. We just celebrated his birthday just a couple days ago. He's an amazing guy.
Well, I mean, they are absolutely an amazing band. And I mean, we talk about these amazing bands. So then who are some of those other bands that you're really looking at and saying, like, I love that song. Like maybe some of your top favorite songs of all time.
You know, I mean, I grew up listening to Def Leppard and Journey. As I got older and started working as a trainer, you know, the songs that Nickelback performs, their big hits. I mean, these songs are so catchy, big guitar-driven hits that, to me, that's sort of the soundtrack of my life. And so the fact that I get a chance to spend time with guys that are in those bands and like I said, even Air Supply. You know, Air Supply, when I was growing up, those songs were just so super catchy. And they might have been love songs, so they might not have been Pour Some Sugar on Me, but they definitely were huge hits, super catchy. And the fact that I can spend time with those guys now and have a friendship with them and give them fitness advice, it's like a dream come true. Remember, I grew up on a farm in Maine in the middle of nowhere with snow and ice and farm animals. And so the fact I can live in Los Angeles and see palm trees each day and get a chance to hang out with rock stars, I'm very, very lucky.
So then, you know, who were some of the first rock stars that that you actually started training? And then how did they wind up coming to you?
You know, a lot of the ways that I met these musicians was through sort of the Hollywood system. You know, you start training actors, and then you start training musicians. And we've worked with tons of people. We've worked with the guys in Fall Out Boy and Strokes, Nickelback, Def Leppard, Journey. I mean, so many different great artists we've had the chance to work with. The first major musical group that I originally worked with was a band called Big Time Rush, which was actually a Nickelodeon TV show. It was a bunch of young guys who had a band on the show, and they were kind of like a modern day Monkees. And then they toured, and I started training them, and we all became friends. And so I think that was the first time I experienced sort of that level of hysteria, you know, looking out at a crowd of people going crazy over you know, recording artists that I work with. But through the years, I mean, we've worked with Tesla. We've worked with all kinds of great bands. And as I work with these bands that are seminal, that have been around for a long time, and that continuously just are out there sharing their music with their fans, it's just a wonderful, wonderful honor and experience.
Yeah, I mean, there's no question. Like, I think the doors that it must open are amazing. And I mean, all the other things that you do as well. I mean, when you talk about Morning Glory, you talk about Celebrity Sweat. I mean, is there, like, how many more opportunities can you possibly find? How open are you to continuously finding the new opportunities?
Well, you know, the world's changing. So you know, you have to sort of change with the world or you're left behind. And so, yeah, I mean, whether the opportunities that are out there are in person or, like, right now they're not in person. Right now there's a lot of virtual opportunities to speak in front of big groups via Zoom, to train people remotely instead of in person. Whatever it is, I'm always looking for opportunities to impact people, to be a positive force, to motivate and inspire people. And if your reviewers want to watch episodes of Celebrity Sweat, it's on Amazon Prime. They can access it that way. And but I'm so excited that I get a chance to go out into the world and to touch people's lives and to help them from a fitness standpoint and a health standpoint, and now inspire them through music, because I've been inspired myself through music so much that for me to have the opportunity to inspire others through these songs, it makes me feel really lucky.
You mentioned working with Tesla, and Brian Wheat has been honest and open about his difficulties with his weight over the years. What kind of advice would you give to somebody who really, really wants to get their weight in order, but doesn't have the confidence they have the ability to do it?
You know, Brian and I became friends when we were all on tour together. And he, after tour, actually came to Los Angeles to my gym and spent some time here. And we helped him get into great shape, and we helped him lose some weight. So for Brian, it was really a factor of aligning his exercise with a proper diet and getting enough sleep. You know, the exercise itself is very, very important, and the type of exercise you do can help dictate how the body changes. The diet is super important, and with him, we wanted him to eat lean animal-based proteins, water-based carbohydrates, healthy fats, and really be well hydrated. So we tried to stay away from the starchy carbs, the bread, pasta, rice, cereal. We tried to stay away from those things. And then sleep. Sleep is when the body changes. All physical transformation occurs exclusively during sleep. And so for someone like Brian, who's kind of a night owl, for him to get some extra sleep really helped him see those physical changes. But I'm a big Tesla fan. I mean, I remember when I was in college, I used to hear Little Susie's on the Up, and I was like, oh man, that is so cool. I mean, they're a great band. And once again, I think it was last summer, they opened up for Def Leppard on our big Canadian tour. And so once again, I got a chance to spend a lot of time with those guys. They're great. They're all fantastic.
We saw that tour.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
We're up in close to Nickelback's area of the woods in Calgary, Alberta. So yeah, you bet we saw that.
Oh, great. Well, listen, you probably saw me. Did you see a big blonde guy standing side to side of the stage? That was me.
that was you. I kind of figured it out.
Yeah, just look for the big blonde guy. There you are.
Yeah.
At the big blonde guy that's not me with a different physique.
Right, exactly. I'll tell you, that Canadian tour was such a great, great time. The Canadian audiences are amongst, in my opinion, the best audiences there are. And that was a really, really phenomenal tour. We really had such a good time. Summer in Canada is the best. We had so much fun.
Well, and it must make you feel good. Like, even though you're not the one out on stage, it must make you feel good to see the band out there, to be able to perform at their highest level, and to really be able to, and to see the crowd enjoy them.
Yes, it makes me very, very proud. You know, it's one thing to see your handiwork on screen, whether you're watching a movie or a TV show. I mean, it's always nice to see your work displayed on screen. But on stage is something that's even better because it's right in front of you. And remember, I mean, I grew up when I was 12 years old, 13 years old. I'm on a farm in Maine in the middle of nowhere. And I was listening to Def Leppard, and they were my favorite band. So now as an adult, the fact that I get a chance to spend time with those guys and listen to them and watch them play on tour, I'm seeing one of my favorite concerts almost every night. It's really cool. It was a really great experience. And that Canadian tour was one of my favorite tours that we ever went on. It was such a blast.
Yeah, that's really awesome. One of the things, you know, that strikes me is talking to you. I mean, you're such an inspiring guy, and your message is so awesome. So then, how long kind of has it taken you from, like when did you start to now, like, to develop, you know, that inspiring message and just, you know, you being you?
You know, I think men like fine wine age well over time, and I think that you gather wisdom through your experience. And so I've been a personal trainer full time for nearly 30 years, almost 30 years in the gym, first in New York City and then in Los Angeles. And during that time, I've had the opportunity to work with business leaders and actors and celebrity chefs and rock stars and a lot of normal people too, just regular dentists and doctors and housewives. And I think when you get a chance to spend time in an intimate setting with that many people, you start to get some insight on the human connection, and you find ways to communicate with people in a way that they can understand what you're trying to get across, the message you're trying to get across. And our message is all about good looks and good health, using exercise, diet, and sleep to enhance your body, to enhance your mind, to make your spirit soar. And there's a way of finding that blend of exercise, diet, and sleep where you feel good, you look good, everything is sort of running the way it should, and it sort of prepares you to leave the gym and conquer the world and be successful, whatever you want to do, because everyone has a different agenda, everyone has a different set of goals, and just getting your body and your mind in line really helps all of those things come true. So that's the way I see it.
Another thing, too, is that, you know, I read that, you know, Jack LaLanne kind of pushed you into going into TV and, you know, that was something for you to take you out of your comfort zone. Like, how important do you think it is to be taken out of your comfort zone in certain situations like this?
I think it's important to be taken out of your comfort zone if your ultimate goal requires it. And my goal was to communicate and touch as many people as possible. So, yeah, Jack LaLanne was the one that said, you know, you need a TV show. You need to have a show. And, of course, my reaction was, oh, great. I mean, that's not at all what I want to do. My goal was to be the best personal trainer I could possibly be. I envisioned myself staying in the gym and helping people with their bodies and their lives. But he explained to me that as a platform for him, television allowed him to reach millions of people instead of hundreds of people. And so I took his advice, and, you know, 6 months, you know, without any kind of TV experience, 6 months after he said that to me, I got a call from a company based out of Chicago called Celebrity Sweat that were looking for a host for a health and fitness show. And the rest is history. So I hosted the show going into the sixth season, and it's been a great experience. A lot of the musicians that I work with, I actually met because they were guests on Celebrity Sweat. So I remember going to Phil Collins' house before I knew Def Leppard. I mean, they were my favorite band as a child, but before I knew the band the way that I do now, I went to his house and we shot an episode of Celebrity Sweat, and we became friends that way, and then he and I started working together, and then one day he brought his friend to the workout, and we all worked out together. And it turns out after the workout was over, that friend was the band's manager. And the manager said, I think we need this kind of workout for everybody. And the next thing you know, I was on tour with those guys. It was really fun.
Yeah, it's fascinating the way that, you know, I guess doors can open when you're just available for them to open.
Oh, yeah. And if you're on a mission to change the world and you really work hard, it's going to happen.
And I mean, and it's, you know, it's so interesting because, of course, Jack LaLanne is one of those, you know, iconic names in the industry. And so I think that, you know, for you, Eric, the trainer, to be looking up to that and kind of to push yourself out in that regard is really interesting. And what does it take for that kind of mind, to have that kind of mindset, do you think?
Well, it's always nice to have someone that you aspire to be like, who's in the job or the industry that you want to be, that you want to succeed at. So, I mean, a piece of advice that I give people all the time, because people come to me all the time for advice. They say, you know, hey, I want to do this. I want to do this. My dream is to do this. I always tell them the same thing. I say, look around the world at someone in that industry that's doing that thing that you wish to do, and go study with them and go spend time with them and see what they do and learn from the best. Because, you know, there's no need to reinvent the wheel. And if you have the desire and the passion to be a great plumber, to write a great novel, to be a doctor, to be a great trainer, whatever it is, you know, part of becoming that great person is defining what that is. Because, you know, just saying I want to change the world or I want to help people, that's a very broad-based statement. But, you know, some trainers specialize in professional athletes. Some trainers specialize in people over the age of 55, and they work exclusively with older people. And everyone has their niche. Some trainers actually desire to have their own gym, and that's their goal. They think to themselves, man, I would love to have my own gym. That's success. So I think you need to define success first. And then once you've defined success, I think you need to find someone who is doing something in that realm like that and spend time with them. That's my advice. And that's why Jack was so great for me, because what Jack stood for and what Jack is about to this day is about reaching out to the common man and helping them change their lives. And I'd love to follow in those big footsteps.
This Brett really understands all this because he aspires to be like me. To be like me.
Oh, see. That's awesome. Yeah. That is so cool.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I figure.
Yeah. Yeah, looking for that giant 315-pound Twinkie, you know. So, Eric, I just one more question for you. Like, what does a day in the life of Eric the Trainer look like?
Hey, you know, under normal circumstances, it's a pretty wild time. Nowadays, it's not as wild. Usually, I travel a lot. You know, we've done work in the Middle East. We've done work over in China, in Japan. We go to Europe a lot. I spent a lot of time in Budapest. Our fitness, our Hollywood fitness travels well internationally. That has all come to a screeching halt due to the pandemic. And so a typical day now in the life of Eric the Trainer, I wake up in the morning, I give my wife a giant kiss, and I come to the gym. I have a gym here in Hollywood called the ETT Mecca, which has an outdoor area so we can actually see a couple clients in our outdoor area. Luckily, it's beautiful here in Los Angeles in the 60s and 70s this week. And so we're not like Toronto or Vancouver where it gets really, really cold. I'll see a few clients, and then I'll teach online. I teach some online fitness classes, live fitness classes, which if any of your listeners want to work out with me live, they can go to erickthetrainer.com and sign up. We're doing some really cool stuff online. We have all kinds of people from around the world that work out with us live on a daily basis. I see some clients, and then I usually try to grab a workout myself, and then I spend time with my wife. It's been a pretty mellow time lately, but normally I'm either on tour, on set, or traveling, sort of spreading the fitness gospel to trainers around the world. And so our mission has been temporarily interrupted, but it's still happening sort of under the radar. And it's a real honor to do what I do. I really love it.
Yeah, that's awesome. And Eric, I really appreciate you coming on our show to help spread your gospel, because, you know, it's certainly a worthwhile one, and we love the music, and we look forward to hearing much more of your music. So please, once again, tell all the fans where they can find you and your music.
Awesome. If you want to find me, go to erickthetrainer.com or on social media at Eric the Trainer on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. You can always find me there. And then from a musical standpoint, check out Maine Monster, Maine, like the state of Maine, M-A-I-N-E, Maine Monster. Our first single is called I'm Yours, and our second single that we just released is called Girl Like You. I hope you guys love it, and shoot me a message. Tell me what you think.
I'm going to listen to it immediately after this.
That's right.
I've already got it loaded up, actually. So.
Awesome. Thank you, gentlemen, so much. I had a great time talking to you. Have a super day. Thanks again.
Oh, thank you. Very much. Yeah, much appreciated, and all the best. We look forward to talking to you again.
All right. Take care. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye now.
I made a fortune in L.A. I'm on the television night and day.